Likewise, buddy, likewise. Luke 22. Luke 22. I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this meeting up to this point. These preachers have just been doing some real preaching. Every one of them. Is this worked on?
It's on.
Is it on?
I'm just pushing to be on.
Well, I'm waiting to get started. this has been such a wonderful meeting. See some old friends and folks that you see at about all the meetings. They come to all the meetings, and so a lot of our folks are here, and I love and appreciate seeing some folks I haven't seen in years, and it's always a blessing. Thanks for having me, Don. I appreciate you very much. All right, let's get started here. Is it going? Map, split.
Big one on the wall there.
That thing ain't working for me. That means I can go all I want to, can't I? All right, Luke 22. It is such a blessing to be here. In verse 31 here of Luke 22, down through verse 37, I want to read, and hopefully by God's grace bring a message that, as Don said, will be a comfort to the Lord's people. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. There's an old hymn that I love very, very much. For a little bit, I start singing it, but might get off tune. I don't want to do that. I don't want to embarrass myself or you either. But a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. As shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And that's what we have here. A wonderful Savior for Simon Peter. Wonderful Savior for us. And our Lord said here, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. What a firm foundation God has laid for us in his excellent word. And I want to ask this question tonight. Will your faith fail? Will your faith fail? Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for Simon that his faith fail not. That his faith fail not. I know this before I start. If Christ does not uphold me, my faith won't last no longer than the snap of my fingers. I know that. But I want to go through this a little at a time and see what the Lord says. The Lord said, Simon, Simon. He didn't call him Peter till down in verse 34. And he's the one that gave him that surname, Peter, Petra, rock. But he repeated his name twice, and he said, Simon, Simon. And I believe our Lord Jesus was very tender with him, very patient with him, very kind to him, very gracious to him, because he knew how frail. You know, our Lord is full of tender pity, for he knows how frail we are, that we're just dust. And he said, Simon, 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 Satan, Satan has sought to sift you. And this tells us about an awful, awful enemy that all of us has. And he had. Satan. He said, Satan has desired to have you. He wants you, Simon Peter. He wants you. And he's desired to have you, and he wants to sift you like sifting wheat. And here's the thing about it. No one knew that Satan was anywhere around but our Lord Jesus Christ. Simon didn't know it. The other apostles didn't know it. He was there with them. He said, he talked to all of them, and he asked them. He said, when I sent you, did you lack for anything? They said, nothing. And they didn't know he was working, and yet he was so close to them and was working, and they didn't seem know he was even conscious of him being around. That's like it was with Job. Job was off worshiping God, and here comes Satan walking up, and he's walking to and fro, and the Lord Jesus, or God asked him, the Lord Jesus said, whom seekest you walking to and fro? He said, I'm looking for somebody to devour. He said, have you considered my Job a perfect and a just and an upright man? And I tell you what, Job didn't know what was going on. And we don't know what God's doing with us at any one given time. But this is one of the enemies of our Lord and of his people. Don already says that Christ has already judged him. But he has several names, and he's known for his subtlety. He's very subtle. He deceived Eve by subtlety. He's very crafty, very subtle. And one thing I'll tell you about him, he packs a Bible. He packs a Bible. He carries a Bible. And the only thing he wants to do is stop the gospel. He's like a, you know, it's like a, Satan wants to come along, and he's like a funeral director. If a funeral director and somebody dies, they got to paint them up and fix them up where they look like they're alive. And you go to some funerals and they make the people that's dead look better than they did when they last saw them. And that's what Satan does, is he wants to make dead people look alive. And that's what he's doing here. He says, well, listen, I'll get a hold of this fella here. And he had said, and like he said, Job, I'll make Job cuss you to your face. And then not only is he known for his subtlety, craftiness, but he's known for a lion, for his fierceness and his aggression. He's fierce. He's aggressive. The lion, he's a lion. And oh, this is the most dangerous way he is as an enemy. He comes as an angel of light. And as an angel of light, he comes to dazzle. He comes to impress. He comes to make people feel so good and make them say, boy, that's just, oh, I never seen nothing like it. Never heard anything like it. And oh my, to dazzle and impress people. And then he's called an accuser of the brethren. And that's what he said. You know, Job did not know the conversation between the devil and God. And Satan asked God. He says, did Job fear God first? Not. You know, he only fears you. He said, the only reason he fears you because you give him things. The only reason and that's what the way a lot of people are. The only reason they want God is like a man keeps a milk cow to get milk out of it. And God is only useful as what you can get from him.
Yeah.
And that's what preachers tell you. And I wish this would work. They'll say, listen, you give me $100 and God will give you $1,000 back. Boy, I'd like to find me an investment like that. Wouldn't you like to find one of them? Somebody said today that their mom gave them prayer clothes. You know, put it in your billfold and God will bless you. Listen, I give you one of my handkerchiefs and you throw it away. But that's what he done. He said, God doesn't, Job don't fear you for nothing. He said the only reason he fears you is because you gave him everything that he could possibly want in this world. Everything he could want, you've given it to him. He's got more money than he can count. He's got 10 children. He's got houses. He's got servants. He's got everything. everything. And then Satan said, listen, you take all that down, and I guarantee you he'll turn against you. You know what happened? God took it all down.
Yeah.
You know what Job did? Shaved his head, got before his face before God, and he said, the Lord gave it, the Lord has taken away. Yeah. Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
God, everything we got belongs to Him. We ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing that God didn't give us. If you got a good house, God gave it to you. If you got a job, God gave it to you. If you got money in your pocket, God gave it to you. If you got health, God gave it to you. Do that. And if you got bad health, God gave you that.
Amen.
I mean, it's God's running this outfit. And as long, He's good to us as long as we're well. But I tell you what, I'd rather listen. And that's what he does. He comes, he said, oh, listen. But oh, Job. But let me tell you this. The world is a snare. Oh, what a snare the world is. People will move to better themselves with a job, but how many people move and go down in station to go hear the gospel?
Right.
Move where the gospel's at. The world is a snare. He'll dazzle something out there for you. Well, you're going to get a $100,000 raise. You're going to get a $30,000 raise. You're going to make some more money. You can get a new car and you can get a real nice house. Just build it up. It's a snare. And this flesh, oh, this flesh. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And what he was talking about, he's talking about carrying an old dead man on his back. And that's what this flesh is. It's like carrying a dead man on your back. And he gets so stinking and gets so corrupt and he gets so nasty and gets so rotten and he just gets where you loathe him. And if you could, you'd just jerk him off. But you can't. Sometimes he's worse than others, but there's never a time he ain't there. That's why Paul said, I did know that in me, that in my flesh, dwells no good thing. That I would do, I don't. And that I wouldn't do, I do. Oh, and the flesh is an awful burden. But there's no enemies like this Satan is. He's invisible. He's experienced. And he had the audacity to even come and go and tempt our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what kind of audacity he had. And he overthrew our first parents. He overthrew David. And he overthrew Peter. And Simon was sifted. But we have a promise. I want you to look at it with me in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. Look at this with me. Romans 16 and verse 20. We have a promise. A promise. And I know this. I am no match for him. And I don't, you know, I'm no match for him. I'm no match for him. But look what our Lord told us here. Romans 16, 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Oh, the God of peace. Go put him down. Under our feet. Go bruise him. And then look what he says. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you till that time happens. But oh, go back over here in our text. I don't want to, you know, I've said enough about him. Let's say something about something else. But look what it says. But thank God for these wonderful, wonderful words. Back up there in verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But, great big doors on these little bitty hinges, but I have prayed for thee. I've prayed for you. I prayed for you. Why did he pray for himself? Tell you why. So you won't, faith won't fail. He was such a weak creature, so frail in himself as we are. You think it is ever be any different for us? No, he said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. What a glorious, glorious, blessed truth that Simon Peter had a high priest that already, he said in John 2, he said he was in heaven and on earth at the same time. He said, I'm up there with my Father and I'm down here. How can he be in two places? Well, he's God. He's God manifest in the flesh. But oh, a glorious, blessed truth. He had an intercessor. He said, I prayed for thee. I prayed for thee. He didn't say it's your brethren didn't pray for you. He said, didn't say the church prayed for you. He didn't say you even prayed for yourself. But he said, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. You know, John 17 is all about our Lord Jesus Christ praying for us. He even prayed for them that would believe on them through his word. Through his word. I prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Before the temptation ever come, I prayed for you. Our Lord said in John 17 and 9, I pray not for the world. Everybody talks about God so loving the world. There's a fellow down home says all the time. He says all the time, said, Coach John 3:16 says, God loves you. Don't you know that your heavenly Father loves you? And we do too. But our Lord Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. That world lies in wickedness. But who does he pray for? I pray for them that thou hast given me. God gave us to him. And he said, oh, in another place, said, Father, he said, I have prayed for them and not only one's lost, and I've lost none but one. And that was the son of perdition. And our Lord Jesus said, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil that's in the world. And the only reason that Simon Peter didn't fall completely was because Christ prayed for him. And I tell you something, when Christ prays for a man, he don't say anything about the man. He says everything about himself. What can he say about us? What in the world? If he looked at us right this minute, where we're at, what we're doing, what we're thinking, how we're feeling. We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? But no, he don't do that. The only reason he did not fully and finally fall away was because of Christ. He promised that he would lose none. And if one could be lost, I'd be one of the first ones to go. He promised that he'd lose none. He said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, there's no way, under no circumstances, anything they can say, do, act, or anything that would cause me to cast them out. You think of all the things you said, all the things, ways you've acted, and all the envy and pride and self-righteousness and sin that we have committed since Christ saved us. And our Lord Jesus Christ still says, I will not cast them away. There's nothing that a believer, if God was going to ever cast a man away, he'd have cast David away. Yeah. If a man's ever going to cast anybody away, he'd have cast Simon Peter away. If a man was ever going to cast somebody away, he'd have cast a multitude of people away. But our Lord Jesus Christ's blood is so powerful. His life is so effectual. His blood is so powerful. His prayers, God hears them all. Listen, he said in one place, I don't know who said it already, but our Lord Jesus was praying when he's getting ready to raise Lazarus from the tomb. He said, Father, I know that you hear me all the time. I know you do. But I'm praying not for my sake, but for these that are here listening, that they may know that you're with me. And oh, he promised that he'd lose none. And not only that, but he would take those that was given to him and he would raise them up at the last day. Raise them up at the last day. And here's another thing. He promised eternal life. He didn't promise life until you messed up. He didn't promise life until you failed. He didn't promise life until you acted foolish. He didn't promise life until you made a fool out of yourself. He didn't promise life till you got mad at your wife and had an argument. He didn't promise life if you didn't get mad at the preacher. He promised life regardless. And let me say this. Eternal life is what we got right now. This body's not eternal, but life is eternal. And the minute this body, this heart ceases to beat, and the last breath we take, we're gone. Gone. Life. And oh, and Gene preached this morning. He promised that one day, he said, I'm going to come again and take you unto me to be with me where I am. And he said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Well, I tell you, that's why it's not going to fall. And I tell you what, in that he said, and here's another thing, why his faith didn't fail. Cross prayed for him. He said, I'll never, ever leave you nor forsake you. I won't do you. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Me and one of the men in the church was talking the other day. And we was talking about if Christ took his hand off of us, he was working. He down on his knees, he was working. He said, if Christ, I said, boy, if the Lord left to let us go, he said, yeah, if Christ took his hand off of us, we go just like that.
Right.
And this is one of the most amazing things in the world to me. I don't know what you think about it, but I know this is the most astounding thing in the world. Not only that I was saved by God's grace, but that I saved every single day. I'm astounded that after all these years, God has kept me in spite of myself. In spite of me, God's kept me. And you, don't that astound you when you look at yourself that how in the world could I still be saved?
Yeah.
How could I still be saved? How's this happen? How did I start way back there 40 years ago and 35 years ago, 38 years ago? How did I start back there and still here today? How's that happen? I know it has nothing to do with me. Certainly has nothing to do with my flesh. Certainly has nothing to do with my own strength or abilities. He prays for me. Prays for me. Huh? I know this, if faith fails, everything fails.
Exactly.
If faith fails, everything fails. You'll cease to have courage. And that's what, didn't that what Simon Peter did? He was scared to death around the maid. He lost his courage. If your faith fails, you lose your hope. Faith fails, you lose your love. Faith fails, you lose your joy. And if faith is gone, Christ is gone. All is gone. But, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Oh, my. I prayed for you, Simon Peter, that your faith don't stop. That your faith does not stop. That it does not fail. No wonder Christ is precious to us who believe. No wonder faith is called precious faith. And you know why faith won't fail? Because Christ can't fail. Christ can't fail. I've already failed. You know, I don't know about you all, but I'm pretty much a failure at everything I've ever done. I was trying to cut some stuff the other day. Have a straight line, Donald. Have a straight line, a mark on there, straight line. Down home, they say ain't where salt goes in his biscuit. That's the way I feel. But I do know this, that our faith won't fail. Because Christ cannot fail. Christ cannot fail. In fact, he sits right now at the right hand of God. And as that high priest went into the presence of God and he had this breastplate on, this high priest breastplate on, and he had the names of the children of Israel on this breastplate across there. And then he had these little pouches up on his shoulders. And he had the names of the children of Israel there. And so that means that when he went into the presence of God with his garments on, he had all the children of God on his heart. And then when he showed them on his shoulders there, that means he carried the weight of them. So our Lord Jesus Christ has us in his heart. And he carries the weight of us. And I'll tell you, he is so great and so glorious and so majestic and so powerful, so gracious, so kind, and so compassionate that he can put us all on his shoulder at the same time and not feel the burden. In fact, he's holding every one of us up right now on his shoulders. He ain't never, listen, we can't walk without it. We desperately need our Lord Jesus Christ every moment of every day. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Savior, I need thee. And oh, now he appears in the presence of God for us. Our Lord Jesus appeared three times. He appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appeared in heaven itself, right now, in the presence of God for us. Appears in the presence of God for us right now. And then he's going to appear the third time without sin. No sacrifice for sin. Sin's already been put away. When he appears the second time, our salvation will be complete then, once and for all. As old Barnard used to say, we'll be plumb saved. Plumb saved. But look what happens here. Now, here's a sure thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to him, he says, when you are converted, down there in verse 32, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you are converted, what in the world does it mean to be converted? It means to be turned from something, from where you're at now, a turning. Jeremiah said, turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Turn me, and I shall be turned. He's going to fall. He's going to deny his master three times. Well, how in the world is this going to do him any good? How's it going to do Simon Peter any good to do this? How will it be to the cause of Christ? What will it do to the cause of Christ? Here's an apostle denying his master three times. How's this going to do anything for the cause of Christ? How's it going to do the gospel any good? How's it going to do that? Well, I know one thing. It teaches me what I'm not supposed to. It teaches me what I'm not to do. It does that. But I tell you what. It teaches us this, that you have no confidence in the flesh. And that the flesh profits nothing. And when he was converted, he said, when you're converted, you strengthen the brethren. And he's going to have to be turned. What's he going to have to be turned from? Well, look what he said in verse 33. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Now, he meant that. He really meant that. I believe that he really believed he could do that. I believe that he thought he could do that. But oh my, he has to be turned from himself and his self-confidence and his self-assurance. He got to be do that. And his conversion from that self-confidence and that self-righteousness, turned from that trust in his own strength, his own ability. He didn't know himself, and he had to learn himself. And Christ had to teach him that. But what a glorious display of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his faithfulness to save this man, to turn this man from the way he was. He could have left him like that, but he didn't. And I tell you what, how many times have you said, Lord, turn my heart to you. Turn my thoughts to you. You know, the thing is that you don't ever have a problem until you pick up a Bible and in your mind go, shoo, shoo, shoo. You get ready to pray and the first thing you'll think about, oh, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that, I need to be the other thing. Does that happen to you all? Huh? Well, I'll tell you something. You know what we do when that happens to us? Say, Lord, oh God, turn my mind to you. Turn my heart to you. We got to be converted from this old flesh and how weak it is and how frail it is. And oh my, and who better to tell the bitterness of falling than one who has fallen? Oh, Simon Peter, you go over and read his epistles, and he said, Brethren, I put you in remembrance. I put you in remembrance. He remembered. He remembered. And oh, who better to tell the weakness of the flesh than those who have trusted the flesh? And look, I'm going to show you where his conversion started. Look here in verse 60 of chapter 22. Look at here in 60, verse 60 in chapter 22. This is where his conversion started. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned, listen to this, and looked upon Peter. You imagine. Now he's standing there. That's the third time he's denied his master. And our Lord Jesus is he's captive. They've got him there to judge him. And they're going to take him out here and they're going to mistreat him and crucify him the next day. He's out there in night. And oh, and the Lord, as he's there in that judgment hall, he turned. When he heard Peter say that, and that rooster crowed, he told him, says, it's going to crow three times. I mean, go once if you're going to deny me three times. And the time that rooster crowed, our Lord just turned around and looked at Simon Peter. Can you imagine how he felt when Christ looked at him? Can you imagine how he felt when our Lord Jesus Christ turned and looked at him? And look what it says. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And here's where his conversion started. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Bitterly. Who better to tell of God's blessed grace, God's blessed mercy, God's blessed forgiveness? Who better to tell of the power of Christ than one like Peter, who fell so? Who better to tell of Christ's faithfulness than one who's been unfaithful? You remember the story in John 21 when Simon said, I go back a fishing. and all the fellows went with him. And one day our Lord Jesus Christ was standing on the seashore, and this is after his resurrection, and he hollered out there and said, "Children, you caught anything?" "No, not caught a thing." He said, "Cast your net over on the right side." They cast it over on the right side, and they caught so many fishes they couldn't pull them in. And John said, "Peter, that's the Lord." Now here's the man that denied Christ three times. He's back out there fishing, went back to his old profession. And Peter said, that's the Lord. Peter didn't even wait for that boat to get, they're still trying to get the fish in the boat. Peter jumped off there and went just as straight to Christ as a martin to its gourd. He said, "I got to get to my master." You know, I got to get, that's how compassionate Christ is. Whatever we do, however we act, however fallen we may be, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear of Him, we cannot help but go to Him. We have to go to Him. We must go to Him. Who else can we go to? Who else can we go to? And here's a perfect illustration of our Lord. He takes the weak to confound the mighty. He takes this. He said, "There's an apostle of yours. This is an apostle. And he denied you three times, and you still love him? You still going to use him?" Yeah. He takes that weak to confound the mighty. He takes the foolish to confound the wise. And let me show you here in verse 37 why none for whom Christ died will ever perish, or their faith will never fail. Over here in verse 37. "For I say unto you that this that is written yet must be accomplished in me." In other words, what I came to do, I'm going to do. And it said here he was reckoned with the transgressors, or among the transgressors. We know that that speaks of the two men he was with, but yet numbered a man that among the... Peter was a transgressor. I was a transgressor. I was a number among them. And he was numbered among us. And then look what he said, "For the things concerning me have an end, a completeness, a fulfillment." And you know when it was done? It is finished. Done. It's a done deal. And thank God that I have a person. I have a high priest, a person that I see, that I know. I see him and I know him. And he sees me and he knows me. And when there's something wrong with me, and which is always is, I go to him. I go to that person sitting in glory. And he takes me to the Father and makes me acceptable. He even makes my groans and my all the weaknesses. He makes everything about me acceptable. Acceptable. And if he didn't, I'd be unacceptable. But oh, he prays. He don't say, "I'm praying for Donnie Bell." No, he said, "I'm praying for one of my sheep." Just one of my sheep. Thank you all. Appreciate you.